Thank you for downloading the Three Beards Soccer Podcast, a Baltimore-based soccer show focused on the English Premier League and the footballing world. Please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, username at Three Beards Pod.
Podcast. This is episode 6. I am Tom Miller. I am here with Ken Lee. How you doing today, Ken?
Better than usual.
And I'm also here with Tyler behind the glass. Que pasa, Tyler?
Not as good as usual.
Don't you lie. Thank you.
Ken Lee, we have been speaking for the last 5 weeks about football and the EPL, and there hasn't been any football, and we've been speaking about it anyways because that's how much we like it. And today we had actual soccer on field at Wembley. We had the Community Shield and the official curtain raiser of the EPL. What'd you think, Ken?
And at least one of those teams that fielded the pitch today was the greatest team in the world, and that is my boys, Arsenal. And I am not sorry, Tyler.
Greatest team in the world.
Greatest team in the world. The Arsenal. The Arsenal.
The Arsenal. Okay. All right. Well, as you can tell, Ken came out victorious in this battle. Tyler is going to be, will be a little bit somber for a bit here, but we'll get into it in a little bit. Ken, so normally the Community Shield, you guys have won 3 of the last 4 because you win the FA Cup. That's your thing now. It's the curtain raiser, basically. You get the FA Cup winner versus the title winners from the previous year. This year it was Arsenal versus Chelsea, 2 London teams in a London stadium. And what did you think of the game?
I thought it was fantastic. It was just a repeat of what happened in the FA Cup final. Arsenal just proving its dominance over London.
Yeah,
and now we're going right into the new season. We're going right into the new season. The Community Shield to me, is it a big title? Is it a big trophy to raise? Not really, but it does give the team who wins confidence and momentum rolling into the brand new season. And it does wonders for a team to be able to lift the trophy up before the season even starts. It's great.
I'll actually agree with that a little bit, even though it doesn't, you know, mean as much as a regular trophy. I think Jose counted as a half trophy last year, but there's something
to be whatever
said.
You want. You're lifting something over your head, yeah. And you just beat a team that took 90 minutes today, took 90 minutes plus a PK shootout, which we will get to that in a second, Tyler Alfeld.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think when United was winning Community Shields more frequently, because they were winning the title more frequently, it's definitely something you look forward to. And it gives you kind of something to jumpstart going forward. And for me, I thought it was really interesting because the beat writers have nothing else to write about, right, Ken? So the headlines are, what are the headlines? What's
the
going
headlines
on with
now
Chelsea?
Are, Chelsea's in a demise Chelsea? And Arsenal's now all of a sudden, you know, primed for a top four finish when they were writing them off like last season. Us finishing fifth is just going to be the new norm going forward now, because once you finish outside the top four, you can never get back in. But now you win a Community Shield against the league winners of last year. And now all of a sudden, yeah, anything can happen. And for Chelsea, unfortunately for you, I think you're getting relegated. That's not my words. That's not my words. That's what everyone's saying. There's a demise going on in Chelsea.
Yeah, no, I read the same headlines as you. I think the main headline over top of the Chelsea is falling apart at the seams was actually the Arsenal looks polished and Arsenal looks set and ready, which I think they definitely look good. I think the most important thing for Arsenal actually to me was that Alexis Sanchez didn't play in this game, nor was he ever
considered. Neither did Ozil. And they were both wearing suits, by the way. They weren't even on the bench.
Their two best players are on the bench. Their two playmakers, especially Sanchez, neither one of them played, and they got the result they wanted, and they frustrated Chelsea, I think, is the best
way. Well, we looked the more threatening team the entire 90 minutes. Even arguably in the first minute of the second half, when we got the goal scored against us, when Willian came in and scored that goal, which was a nice goal, credit where credit is due, but we still looked the more threatening. That was 100% against the run of play. No question. And I'd like to take a moment right now for all those people on Twitter. I'm not usually go on Twitter that often, but I was reading Twitter before the game, and when everyone realized that Sanchez and Ozil were both out of the game, Chelsea fans, Tyler, like yourself, delusional. They were basically thanking Arsenal for the easy victory, for keeping Sanchez and Ozil off the pitch and making them wear a shirt and tie of the game. You know who you are, and let's get ready for the season.
Yeah, no, I think it was a nice win for Arsenal. It was still a 1-1 tie. Let's not forget that. I mean, Chelsea still did their thing where they score a goal, and you can argue it was against the run of play. And I think it. I mean, I agree with that. It was against the run of play.
No, I'm not arguing that.
They still scored.
Yeah, it's two great teams playing each other. Anything's going to happen. Who's to say? You know, I mean, it's a bunch of ifs. But you know, let's say Pedro just slide tackled, and it was a, you know, a rash tackle, not a buffoonery tackle that he did on
Iwobi. There's no button for that in FIFA. That was terrible.
No, that was a ridiculous foul. But let's just say it was, you know, a professional foul to stop the run of play. Who's to say that that goal still doesn't go in because it was off of a set piece? There's a lot of things going on. So everything in a game matters. Everything in a game leads up to a certain amount of play that leads to a goal. And this one happened to end 1-1, go right into a PK shootout into the new format that they're doing, which is the ABBA, the ABBA format, which I think is cool. But yeah.
Well, let's explain that real quick. That's just where one team gets a shooter and then the other team gets two shooters in a row. And then then that's how it goes from there.
It's like a snake format, like Tyler was telling me. It's like a snake rotation. It makes more sense. It's more fair. So.
Yeah, no, I agree. I do want to touch on a little bit of the run of play, even though it's just a community shield. What did you think of Morata overall? And then we'll ask Tyler.
Morata, to me, like, yeah, give me it's his first. I mean, I guess it's his first real game. If you can consider the community shield a real game, I think you should. It's part of the FA. He didn't look good to me, honestly. And I mean, if anything, just like the announcer said in the game, and I forget what announcer said it, but he was brought in to take passes at his feet. And on more than one occasion, he was not able to bring the ball into his feet. And we're not talking about passes that weren't made directly to him. They're passed directly to him. He has some type of anxiety going on, or like he is just not used to the grass in England or something. But he's got to pick that up quick, because at £70 million, you're going to have a lot of questions to ask very quickly if you continue playing in the manner in which you're playing now, and you've played through the preseason, which is, I mean, to be fair, I mean, if he asked himself the same question, he'd have to say the same thing. He's not playing well. He needs to score a goal. That's what he needs to do.
Yeah, and again, it is just a community shield, but I know that Chelsea runs with that number nine up top. Diego Costa takes the ball at his feet, or he just helps the play on, and Morata absolutely has to be able to do that. It is his first game, so we're not gonna do the freak out. But you have to say that if Diego Costa is playing, they're playing the way they want to play, and they had to play Batshuayi up top because it looks like Morata's not ready for that system yet.
Absolutely not. No, he is not. And he proved that. He's proved that before, honestly, before this game. Now it's just becoming more of an issue because it's a game in England, and for all intents and purposes, it's a game against a club that you're going to be playing two times this season. Yep. That's, you know, arguably in the top four, you know, of, you know, the elite teams in the league. And you're not, so far to me, you are not showing that you are worth the £70 million asking fee that was paid for you. And you've got a lot of work to do. You've got a lot of questions to ask. And I suggest, you know, based on the English media, you get to that sooner than later.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. And I think that, you also have the added pressure of Lukaku supposedly was supposed to be going to Chelsea. So there will be a direct comparison between these two players. And Lukaku has 3-4 seasons in England already. So he has a huge head start on the type of play. But I think Morata's a good player and he'll do well enough. I just think that will Chelsea suffer at all is the question. Not having a guy who's ready-made like Diego Costa would have been. I mean,
I mean, right now, the only thing we can do is think that Morata's a good player because he hasn't shown that he is. Not in the Chelsea jersey. I'm not trying to...
That's true.
That doesn't come from a place of hatred or meanness.
No.
That's just a fact.
It's cold, but you're right. The only other thing I wanted to add about the run of play is that Pedro just got himself banned for 3 matches. It's a community shield game. It's a part of the FA, and a red card does go into the next game. He just got himself banned for 3 English
and
league matches.
Time, I'm watching this game, and I'm like, and the announcers are like, you know, Pedro's going to get a yellow, and I'm like, how is this a yellow?
Yeah, that was
like, this better be a red card that comes out of this guy's pocket.
Slide tackle.
It was 100% from behind, studs up
into the,
Achilles of Iwobi. He didn't even see it coming.
No, that was a really dangerous tackle, especially coming from a forward, and Pedro's not known for that, but.
That's terrible. It was such terrible. A bad foul. It was one of the worst things I've seen in a long time that, you know, the announcers seemingly missed because they're saying they're calling for a yellow and let's get back on to play. Like I was,
yeah,
I was thinking to myself, if I see a yellow come out of this guy's pocket.
Do you ever play FIFA 98, Ken, way back, like Super Nintendo?
Oh, yeah, where the automatic red card button.
The red card button.
Where you could get so many red cards, you had to play as the goalie?
Yes, yes, you could do whatever you wanted. You could do this full-out push or this studs-up dive, and you'd automatically get a red card. I felt like that's what it looked like to me. I was like, wow.
You could also tackle the goalie in that game, not to go off on a tangent about FIFA 98. But
hey, man, that was a great game. But yeah, I mean, that's what it looked like to me. It was idiotic. The last point I'll make, which is also an idiotic thing, was Courtois taking a penalty kick and
putting, oh my god,
basically taking a goal kick because he hit it so far.
He saved. He sat in the goal, missed the PK. You think he's gonna run back? I look away from the screen for a second to look at my 7 week old baby, see if he's still sleeping because he hasn't understood right now that Arsenal's on the television and we scream until the end.
Despite you taping him to a chair in front of it.
He stops at about what looked like the 15 yards away from the line. And I'm like, oh my gosh, is this guy about to take a PK? And he sat up there and he forgot for a second that he was in a penalty shootout and he took a goal kick. I still don't think they found that ball because he kicked it out of Wembley. I'm telling you.
Yeah, no, I was astounded by the decision. I thought maybe it was Conte trying to play down the importance, be like, oh, I don't care about the shootout.
No, you can't do that. You can't say that because, yeah. And right after this, Tyler, I promise you, I'm going to give you the floor because I'm not going to beat this into the ground anymore. But Morata missed. He got his PK blocked by Petr Cech after Courtois missed that. Now, your point, Tom, I could see if Morata gets his PK blocked, I can see Conte saying, let's have this guy go in there and kick. But you have to have the five started before. You can't change the five. So I don't know, maybe you're right, but I don't think so because if it's me anyway, and I'm the manager of Chelsea, and I won the league last year. I lost the FA Cup final to Arsenal, and now I have a chance to redeem myself before the season starts. I'm putting everything out there to win that game to right the wrong so we can go into the season at a neutral ground. So I'm not buying that a guy like Conte, who has shown over the course of his career that he has the want and the will and the need to win, that he's willing to give up anything that you're going to be able to hoist some type of trophy or plate above your head.
Yeah. No, I agree. And now I think it's fair to give Tyler a chance here. Yeah. Tyler,
Tyler, let's see. Defend your Chelsea. Defend your boys in blue.
Well, in all fairness, there's not a lot to defend here. I mean, it is a meaningless friendly, really, at the end of the day. That's all this was.
That lost.
That's all this was. That's all this was. And I was a little disappointed that they waited until the 74th minute to start Morata. I thought that, being as though he was the arguably the biggest signing here, that's what people wanted to see. So I'm confused as to why they waited until the game was almost done to bring him in. That said, when they did bring him in, it wasn't really anything anybody wanted to see. So it has tempered my expectations for the season a little bit. I will say that. I don't know. There's not too much to defend with it. It took us going down a man before you were able to score. It happened something like a minute and a half after.
Tyler, I'm not going to interrupt you. It wasn't during play. It was directly as a result of the foul. So it can be argued that any foul would have created that goal chance. And let's not let Rudiger off of the hook here, because it was Rudiger, also a brand new Chelsea signing, brought in to help defend the same goal that he allowed the open header to go into. He fell asleep.
And who scored that header, Ken?
Kolasinac.
All right, that's pretty
good. Is that how you say his name?
I Kolasinac. Think so. That sounds right.
I mean, if you're listening, Kolasinac, I apologize. I love you. I loved seeing every minute of you play today. It was fantastic.
Wenger was sweating.
Kolasinac, I think, is how it is. Kolasinac.
Wenger was sweating him big time. Called him a tank.
Well, everyone is. He's big. He's fast. I think I heard one of the announcers saying that he used to be a triathlete. And he showed that, honestly. There was like one moment, like in the 40th minute, don't quote me on the minute, but he must have taken the ball from our box to Chelsea's box, passed it off to Ox on the wing, and still made it back to the box before the play had even changed. It was crazy. He does not look like he should be that fast. But back to you, Tyler. Sorry. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. I mean, I'm not going to spend a lot of time harping on it. Bakchui, not impressed with what he did. I mean, you could hear the fans in the background calling for him to be pulled off. You can even go back and watch the highlights and hear them in the background. I feel, my expectations are tempered. And I feel like this is the first time the new squad has played together. A lot of changes, a lot of movement, and we'll learn from it. And once again, win the league like we did last year.
That's an astounding press conference.
Gosh, this guy goes from saying it's a meaningless friendly, which I've never watched a friendly in my entire life, where they hoist a trophy over their head at the end of it, to saying that we'll bounce back from this friendly. It was a learning experience. That we'll win the league.
Hold on one second. I want to say one other thing. And when I was first starting to get, into soccer in a big way, I did spend a lot of time watching Arsenal. And, watching the highlights of the match again, who Lacazette really reminds me of a lot? And Ken, I want to get your opinion on this. Henry.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
I think he's...
He's not going to be as smooth. He's not going to be. Maybe he will be. But you're taking. Henri is someone who,
revered.
He's a legend that walks the earth right now. And I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here.
No.
Every single thing he did pretty much turned into some type of golden opportunity on the pitch. And I think Tom, being a Man U fan, would not like agree wholeheartedly, but agree with that. Like he had a foot that was made to shoot soccer balls into the back of a net.
Okay. I think that Henri is the man. And I think that, he had his own style, and his ability to make something out of nothing, which made him a match winner, put him in that elite category, and which made him a legend as well, because he won titles and trophies. But, I mean, not everything he shot went into the net.
Not everything, Thomas, but I'm saying it was more times than not.
Because that would be so lucky.
And to Tom's point, where Henri could take something and make nothing and make it something, I don't see, even in Lacazette's previous play before he came to Arsenal, exactly making nothing into something. He's more of a, I'm going to make a fantastic run, make it not easy, but someone who can pass the ball with any type of guidance and accuracy, namely a Mesut Ozil coming from a midfield. I'll make it very simple for him to pass me the ball on my head or on my foot, and I will put that ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, that's more accurate. But I mean, I'm not trying to downplay Lacazette. He still has he's his first game ever for Arsenal, so we'll see what happens with that.
Hit the post. I mean, he made great runs.
He's dangerous.
Going in.
That's the exact play that I'm talking about. If you go back and you watch the beginning of that break, I think it was around the 22nd minute, and that's right, the around. Highlight that I watched specifically where the thought occurred to me. That shot, that curled, you know, nice shot had echoes of Henry all over
it. Yeah, and what I will say is I love it because now we have another player outside of Xhaka and Hector Bellerin that will shoot the ball rather than pass it into the back of the net, because Lacazette was – he had two defenders in front of him when he took that shot. He had to curl it around the one, which is arguably why it hit the post. If it didn't hit the post, though, Courtois might have had it. I mean, who knows? It's a bunch of ifs, but still.
Did you see how hard that shot was, though?
Yeah.
That shot was a rocket.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a rocket, and it had direction.
Most of them are rockets.
Yeah, I mean, he's a shooter. He's going to shoot the ball.
He's a pure nine, which, I mean, you have...
been missing.
Yeah, Giroud is a target man nine who wins a lot of headers and is not a bad finisher, but they really were looking for that pure nine, and that's what he is. I mean, he's a box nine, a guy who can score in the box, can finish a lot of great passes and things like that. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens.
I'm glad that...
a ways to go before he's on Ray, though.
Because years to go before he's an Henry, and about, you know, 400 or so goals before he becomes an Henry.
well, better than even Giroud, when he ends up injured anyway. So I'll leave it at that.
Oh man, see,
look at the injury.
Ill will spoken.
Get into Giroud.
Ill will. When Giroud and Walcott, who I'm not a fan of, but when they came on the field in the 65th, 66th minute, there was a definite change in the pace of the game, which now, albeit Walcott did, I mean, in the 90th minute, go back to revert to doing Walcott things,
yeah,
which was scuff a shot directly
that was terrible.
To the keeper when that was a great chance to go up 2-1, and he scuffed the shot so badly. I mean, but that's just Walcott. It's gonna happen. But Giroud and Walcott changed the style of play that Arsenal had, and it showed another dynamic that those two bring to the team, which to me reminded me why I'm still on Walcott can go. Don't get me wrong, but Giroud needs to stay. So I did not like when Giroud scored his PK and the announcer said, "Is that Giroud's last goal for Arsenal?" Because Everton's calling his name. I hope that Giroud is okay coming in as, you know, a super sub and he stays with us. But, you know, we've got 2 weeks to find that out. So.
And there's something to be said for depth. Moving on from the Community Shield, which finished in Arsenal's favor.
4-1 PKs. In case anyone forgot.
4-1 PKs. Yes, that's what the PKs were. But there is a Super Cup this week. We're not going to spend a ton of time on it. I'm not sure how much Manchester United or Real Madrid are even going to go after this game. It's in the middle of the week. It's on a Wednesday. It is the Euro Cup winner versus the Champions League winner. And I think what you're mostly likely to see is Jose playing down the importance of it. I think you agree, Ken?
Yep. Of course. I mean, that's going to be Jose's MO, I think, going forward until he sees a clear path to victory. It worked for him last season, and why not continue doing it? He's the master of deflection when it comes to keeping pressure off of his players. So why add a bunch of pressure to a game that, for all, you know, for really anything, is the same as a Community Shield. It's just two winners going together and playing together, playing against each other, and they get to lift a cup up over their head at the end of it.
Yeah.
Does it matter? I mean,
I think
kind
it actually
of, I guess,
might mean less than the Community Shield, because Community Shield means something in England, where it's the game that, you know, most people are watching this game because there's nothing else to watch.
Right.
You know, whereas with the Super Cup, it's going to be on a Wednesday. Ronaldo's just back into training. He probably won't play. You got transfer rumors that are going berserk right now since the big money was spent and Barcelona has seemingly 200 million to spend. So you have all these players that are rumored to move. That means you might get some players that don't play. Gareth Bale, for instance, if he's actually they're considering moving him or, you know, whatever.
Just giving assurances that he's the future of the club.
Yeah, well, we don't know. The bottom line is that I think you're going to see,
we'll see
Jose play it down. And I'll watch the game for sure, but it's not something – I think it's actually less important than even the Community Shield, and Jose will treat it accordingly. So, I mean, in that kind of light, we will move on to actual match week one. Ken, we have
Premier League week one,
baby. And just because it's on a Friday and we just spent a ton of time on Arsenal, but at the same time, it's the Friday game, man. It's the first game of the season. It's Arsenal versus Leicester City at the Emirates. And you said you're optimistic.
I'm optimistic. It's a home game. What I am looking forward to see is I'm sure Iniesta will be playing for Leicester. I'm more curious to see if there's any legs to the Sanchez leaving this window.
Mm-hmm.
He won't be playing this Friday. You can only imagine. If he's not playing this Friday for any reason, I'll start, I'll start wondering, scratching my head, is this guy going to be an Arsenal player come September 1?
Yeah, Wenger came out after the game and said that he absolutely would, and that he would he thinks Sanchez will respect that Arsenal is the team that he's contracted under and that he will not be leaving.
My fingers are crossed from this moment until Friday that I see Alexis Sanchez in the starting lineup. That to me would show that he's in the team. So that's really my only concern with the game. It's a home game, home opener against Leicester. Leicester's got a lot of troubles going around. Not a lot, but there's a little bit of an issue with Mahrez. He wants to leave. Still there. They've got the new striker in. Is he going to start? Is he going to come in and play? I just think that, on paper, we're a little bit more set up, more comfortably set up than a Leicester is right now, especially to start season on an away game is pretty difficult, especially when you got to go away to Arsenal.
Yeah, and I think that it bears mentioning the fact that Leicester City does have that counterattack, so you can't rule them out. And if you were a betting man, you could consider this maybe a type of a trap game with Arsenal coming off high. But, I'm sure...
Kind of.
Yeah, I'm sure.
If you watch the game today, our new system with the back three, it allows for almost five defenders to be back there all of the time.
Yeah.
Like, they play that really well. It's almost as if,
we will see.
What took so long?
I think it's more likely for Arsenal's season, honestly, it will come down to mentality. And I think your idea of getting rid of Theo Walcott is actually the perfect idea, because I think Theo Walcott represents an era at Arsenal that's not barren. They did spend 8 years without a trophy, but it's not a barren stretch. But at the same time, it was not an impressive stretch. And I think he represents that and he should go.
And it's not anything like that Theo Walcott is a terrible player. No. Theo Walcott is just very inconsistent. And to me, I was just talking to my wife today about how, and she doesn't care, by the way, about anything I talk about soccer to her. She listens to me because she loves me. But if Arsenal's anything, they're consistently inconsistent. And Theo Walcott defines that.
Yeah.
That inconsistency. Like, I don't care that you come in every once in a while, every four or five games, and score a goal or two, or you have a couple of good touches. I want you to go because I think you can flourish somewhere else. If you're listening to this, Theo Walcott, it's not from a place of hatred. I want you to flourish somewhere else, and you're holding a depth spot for someone else that could come in and potentially bring in a new, to Tom's word, era of consistency that Arsenal is begging for.
Yeah, and I think that's just kind of one of those things where it'll come down to mentality, and we'll see what happens, Ken. But to your point, it is a home game, so it's the Friday night home game. Get on it if you can. It's worth it. Prem Soccer is back. A couple other notable matches. We have Watford playing Liverpool.
Can I think the only reason that's notable is because Liverpool has to travel to Watford. I still don't see Watford getting anything from this.
No, I don't think so either.
But what I'm looking forward to, Tommy, does Coutinho dress up? Is he even a player by then?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I mean, that's the big headline there. I think Liverpool is looking to start on high, and I think they will.
Yep.
I think they actually could blow this game out. If I were to pick a blowout, this might be the game.
Exactly. You couldn't ask for a better opening game. I mean, you could ask for it to be home, but even away to Watford, I don't see too much fear brewing up in the way of Watford getting anything from this game. I think, you know, what I'll be looking for more is to see if Coutinho lines up with the squad.
Yeah, no, we'll see what happens. It looks like Barcelona has the money they want, and he is currently in their crosshairs, him and Dembele.
$120 million.
Yeah, I've heard between 80 and 120 million. So we'll see what direction that goes in. But in terms of the actual game, I think that'll be one of the more one-sided ones we see. Chelsea versus Burnley. I think that'll be a methodical win for Chelsea. They're going to be. They'll be looking. They're at home, and they'll be looking to rebound. And Conte will have them all set and ready. Burnley is not a bad squad, but it's just Chelsea at home, man. Home opener.
I think Chelsea at home is the differentiator there. I think if that's an away game, though, especially the way that, you know, Chelsea didn't have like the greatest of preseasons and they haven't had the best window. And I think that, you know, I don't know. I think that this loss to Arsenal, albeit to Tyler's point, a friendly, it could end up having a little bit more problems than you think that meets the eye. We'll just have to keep an eye on it. But I think that they win. I think they beat Burnley, if not handedly, on the scoreboard, handedly on the pitch. Definitely.
Yeah, I'm thinking a methodical 2-0 win here, just to kind of steady the ship a little bit. Whether or not they bounce back as well, I mean, if you see a draw here, you could start hearing alarm bells, because, like, to your point, it's been a really tough offseason for them. It started with the mismanagement of Diego Costa, and then all of a sudden they're looking down the throat of Champions League. They didn't get Lukaku, which everybody said they were going to get. So I'm interested to watch that game. I'll definitely that'll be one of the 10 o'clocks I have windowed for sure. Another one that I'll have, I want to see Everton play. I want to see Everton play Stoke.
You have to watch the Everton game. Is Wayne Rooney going to be able to come in and fill the gap of a Romelu Lukaku that's now missing, which is seemingly all they had last season was Lukaku scoring goals, keeping them, you know, at a respectable finish of the season. They haven't signed any other striker yet, except for
Sandro Ramirez.
Yeah, but is he going to play with or is he going to start over Rooney? Is Rooney going to come in as a sub? Like, who knows? Like, I don't know. I would imagine he probably Rooney to start.
I'm interested in seeing that game. It is Everton at home. Everton's very, very tough at home. But Stoke City usually puts up a punching fight. You know,
it's a tough club.
They're always hanging in there. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. I could see it being 3-0. I could also see a frustrating 1-1 tie where Wayne Rooney fluffs his lines like he did with Manchester United.
Exactly. I mean, and Everton has an issue traditionally of allowing goals, especially after they've scored one.
Yeah, they can get hit hard on the rebound. Another game that it's worth noting on Saturday is the Brighton game versus Man City. The only reason that's worth noting, I think, is just because we have one of the new clubs coming in. We have three promoted clubs this year: Brighton, Newcastle, and Huddersfield Town. Brighton is they finished in second in the championship, I think, Ken, and they've only made a couple moves, so they're not. We'll see what they can do, but I would say that of the three of those teams, Huddersfield, Brighton, and Newcastle, I got Newcastle to stay up. How about you?
Newcastle will stay up for sure. I would imagine they would anyway. I think that Benitez has something to prove, and there's just something about having Newcastle in the Premier League that I just like. I just like knowing that they're there. I don't really like them as a club. I just like they're they're just kind of like a traditional club, you know. I was sad to see him go, and I'm happy to have him back, and I'm excited to see him this season.
I actually spent some time in Newcastle, and it's one of those clubs for sure that embodies the town and the city, and it's kind of a cool thing. The whole town slash city gets together for the games. They take the ups, they take the downs. Their owner is a local sports guy. He's a beer drinking kind of in your face owner, I guess. I mean, not in the mold of like a George Steinbrenner type, but definitely wears his heart on his sleeve, which is, you know, with in a world of all businessmen owners that come out with their, you know, their sterile press conferences and things like that. It's kind of interesting to watch, although Newcastle fans would say that he's led them up and down a couple times now because he's not a good manager. But I think it's a cool club to have. And I think most importantly, seeing Rafa Benitez, Ken, I have to say that, like, in the 2000s, I hated Rafa Benitez when he was a manager of Liverpool. He and Fergie would go back and forth before games. We were competing for the top spot. He won himself a Champions League on an amazing night. I mean, the guy had so many things that he did right, but then he would just do these things that irked me so much. And maybe it's just because he's a Liverpool manager, but I miss him. I miss him. I hated him when he went to Inter. I hated him when he went to Real Madrid. It just hung with me. And it's funny because now I'm looking at him like, I want him to lose again. Like, I want him to finish in 20th place and get sacked. But I want Newcastle to lose
just enough games to finish 17th.
But he can get sacked before then. He can win the sack.
Yeah, I mean, he can get sacked, of course. I mean, I don't have any, like, you know, I don't know loyalty to Benitez. I just like watching a league when Newcastle's there. I just like him finishing in the bottom.
I do too. I really, like I said, I spent time there and I really enjoyed it. I had a friend who lived there for a year and he really enjoyed it. And I like the area, but I don't like Rafa. And I think to me, Rafa going, I don't know if you remember when he took over Inter Milan after they won the treble after Jose, and then he lost the Club World Championship. Like, that's the contest where all the Champions League winners from each continent, he's like the first non-European to lose that, or first non-European not to win, I guess they say. Their club didn't win. Real Madrid or Inter Milan did not win when they'd won the treble the previous year. Like, to me, he drives me crazy. So I'm glad to see him because it's a storyline for me. But I want Newcastle to stay up. I just want Rafa to get sacked.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't see that happening personally. But, I mean, he did. It's pretty hard to get relegated and then come back very next season. That's hard to do. I mean, he's done a lot for that club. Yeah. So I think that he's bought himself, you would think, a season. Unless they're in a relegation battle again. I mean, if they're like going into like the last like 2 months and they're in 19th, 20th position, then you could see maybe him getting the sack. But
Ranieri did. That's all I'm saying. One more note with Newcastle. It looks like DeAndre Yedlin will be their starting right back. So that's good news, Ken.
Yeah, it's good for us. Good for the Americans.
So the U.S. will have I know he had been fighting for time there. He's still pretty young. I think he's 22. But it's really important for the United States to develop depth at the right back position, left back position. Because right now, Ken, you know who's sitting in our right back position. And I just won't have it. I just won't have it, Ken. Graham Zuzzi.
Yeah, you got a hatred for him. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So we'll happens.
I think for the Saturday games, though, I think the Brighton-Manchester City game is something to look out for. I think there's a good chance. I wouldn't be surprised for a draw because you've got Pep coming in off of a lot of pressure, whether it be pressure from himself, from the board, for the fans. He's got a lot of wrongs to right this season coming in from last. And this could be a potential tough, you know, away game. You're going into uncharted territory. I doubt they've ever been to Brighton before. And traditionally playing these low-level teams, it's difficult to go. For whatever reason, you know, the pitch isn't up to standard for these prima donna players that need to play on manicured grasses that are cut with scissors. And, yeah. You know, I mean, there's a lot that could go wrong for Manchester City. I'm not going to say that they're going to go out and lose, but I would not be surprised to see an away draw. And it's just, intriguing to me to see what, in a way, draw to a newly promoted team would do to the pressure to the likes of a Pep.
I think they'll get through it just because they're too good. I think that.
Well, obviously, yeah. I'm just saying.
There's a possibility for a banana peel. There.
Yeah, I think out of all the games on Saturday.
And I agree. I just think that, I don't know, Sergio Aguero, man, he's healthy. He's got no injuries right now. He's just going to put a hat trick past him.
No, I mean, there's no reason that they shouldn't go out and beat Brighton 5 or 6 to nothing.
I feel that way. But you feel that way every time you look at their lineup, you know, so you never know. Moving on to the Sunday game. Do you think the game of the week, Ken Lee, is Manchester United versus West Ham?
Yes, and not because of Manchester United. I'm sorry to take the jam out of your donut, but I'm curious to see
the jam
West Ham line up. I think that they've had a fantastic window. They've brought in a lot of good players. And I think they've brought in a lot of good players to make what was a difficult team to play last season that just couldn't get their stuff together when it mattered the most. You know, a formidable team for, you know, potentially a Euro position.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. They brought in Chicharito. I think Arnautovic is actually the one to watch in this game.
Exactly.
To see how he's going to, whether or not he's going to ignite that offense, because
he's a coin flip, man. He's all over the place. He's free reign to run. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like it's a coin flip of how bad is he going to burn you? Like the other team, not West Ham.
Okay,
he's good. No, he's really, really good. I think he's a perfect signing for West Ham.
Yeah, and they only scored 47 goals last year, so they made important improvements there. Chicharito, to me, is always a threat to score 18 to 20 goals. I had some people, other Manchester United fans, when he was on the team that didn't really like him because he doesn't help much in the run of play. I'm like, what else do you need from a number 9 than he scores goals?
Right, yeah. I always get so frustrated with he's not scoring them with the class that our club demands.
He scores from 3 feet away. Who cares?
Shut up. That's like when Mal got he was getting, all this ridicule from the Real Madrid fans. Like, it's not enough to win 4 or 5 to nothing. You have to win really good looking too. Shut up. Who cares?
Yeah, no, I would agree. Although I will say that having been through the Louis Van Gaal age, if we had been winning those games 3-0, I still would have struggled, I think, because that was terrible football. But yeah, Chicharito, who cares how he scores? He scores goals. He scores a lot of goals. He scores everywhere he goes. He scores off the bench. He scores when he starts. He doesn't help you much in the run of play. He's not going to hold the ball up. But the guy scores.
He's dynamic, man. And he can score from anywhere.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I mean,
his finish.
He's really good. And let's not forget that West Ham has signed a striker, an all-out midfielder, a defender in Zabaleta, and a goalie in Jordan. They've increased and made better every single position on their team to what I feel like, like I said before, it was just a victim of they couldn't get anything going last season. Not that they were a bad squad. Now they've enhanced the squad.
Yeah,
I like Bilic.
Yeah, I like him too. I was interested to read some of the season preview stuff from the English media outlets was saying, oh, we'll see how long he gets. I'm like, you're not going to get any better than him. He brings the perfect mentality to West Ham. And you're speaking as a rival club right now, being an Arsenal fan and then being West Ham. I think that shows everything, that this guy, he knows what he's doing. He has grit. And I think that this is a dangerous game for United, just like you said initially. And I will be thrilled to get out of there with 3 points.
Yeah, I think the Sunday games you have, I think what's going to be
at home.
The game, yeah, exactly. That's going to be the saving grace. I think that is why you guys will eke out a Lukaku 1-0 win. But it's going to be difficult. I don't think it'll be easy. But I think Sunday is the day to watch. Like, if you can't watch Saturday, you got to make yourselves available to watch Sunday, because you got what I think will be the game of the week, what we think will be the game of the week in Manchester United versus West Ham. And could be a close second. It's going to be Tottenham, who has brought in nobody, lost Kyle Walker, and now they had an injury to their one of their backs. in the last game. I can't remember his name.
Oh, maybe yeah.
Tyler can look that up. Tyler, can you look that up for me? Tottenham had a defensive injury, and it's really showing the lack of depth that they're having, that they're going to have this season, and especially going, we only have 2 weeks left, remember, Tom, to sign players. They haven't brought in...
Ken, are you talking about Trippier?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
He is the fill-in for...
He's the fill-in for Walker, and now he's injured.
Yeah.
Which makes them play... Oh my gosh, I can't think of these Tottenham player names right now. Forgive me. This is terrible. But the guy, the Tottenham player that Manchester United wanted.
Oh.
Dier. Now they have to play Dier in that right back position.
Yeah.
And he's not a right back.
I was talking to my brother who's a Tottenham fan, and he has been cool. Yeah. He's been pretty cool about the whole not signing anybody, but
how can you?
Now he's starting to fret. He saw a stat that said Tottenham is the only club in the top four of England that have not signed a single player.
They might be the only club in the league that hasn't signed a player.
I'm talking about in England.
Like, I'm just saying they might be the only team in the league that hasn't signed a player.
Yeah, I'm saying in all of England they're the only team that hasn't signed in the top four.
Oh, you said top four
leagues.
Yeah, yeah. I got it. You misspoke.
Yes, I did. But the top four leagues, they are the only team that has not signed somebody, and it's not like, you know, they don't need players. You
everyone
went on rent.
Players.
Everyone needs players, and we got Champions League to look at. I am actually really worried about Tottenham. If I'm a Tottenham fan right now, because you are one or two injuries away from really hurting in a hurry.
Well, and this if you're two hard. Injuries away, Tom, now you're one because you already got the one.
Yeah, but you're talking about...
And he was the fill-in for the guy that you let go for £50 million.
But also, you're looking at Everton having revamped heavily and West Ham having revamped heavily. So that seventh place team is really looking to close the gap. And, you know, I think when we start doing our predictions for the season, I think that there will be one of these top six clubs, one of the big six, that does not finish in the top six.
Exactly.
And I'm really worried right now that it's going to be Tottenham just based on depth.
Well, I'm not worried. I mean, I think it'll be great, but I think what this game's going to come down to is Harry Kane and Dele Alli enough to eke in a goal to beat Newcastle at home? But I think Newcastle and Rafa Benitez, I think that they're a newly promoted team. They're the only ones in my book that have the wherewithal to stay, have the need to stay. And I think that they're going to have a lot to prove. They're going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder. And I think that Tottenham might be a perfect first home game start to the season. They're going to be tired. They've all played.
It's a dangerous match for sure for Tottenham. And it could lead to a slippery slope. I mean, it's a long season. Everybody plays 38 games. So I don't want to overstate a single match just because it's early. You know, another thing to consider, Ken, speaking of early, is Harry Kane scores a lot of his goals in the second half. He's a second half player. And he's had seasons in the past where he hasn't scored for a month. And they just can't afford that right now.
No, definitely not. That's what I'm saying. Like they didn't bring any reinforcement at all to anyone. And to you bringing up Harry Kane, he said out of his own mouth that it doesn't matter. We don't need any players. Where does that come from? And I can't stress enough. Yes, you finished in second last season, but finishing in second means that there was a team in front of you, which means that the 11 players you had weren't good enough to win the league. So you have to have depth in your squad. And right now, I think what's the biggest problem for Tottenham is going to be is this injury is going to force them into, you know, that typical, you know, 23rd, 24th of August into the 31st, signing players for no reason at top value, way over the odds of what they're worth, because now you've waited too long.
The mad scramble.
Exactly. Like, nah, we'll hold on to them until January. Okay, we'll pay you this much more money over.
Here's 25% more.
Exactly.
We call it the Marouane Fellaini factor. You know, you waited too long. I think that there's going to be you know, over the next 2.5 weeks here, there's going to be a mad scramble for players, exactly what you said. And this is not how you do business. This is why all these teams, it's why Jose is putting all this pressure on Ed Woodward right now at Manchester United to sign one more player.
And they've signed three great players.
Yeah, because he knows that the mad scramble can leave you with somebody you don't necessarily want. So I think
it just appeases the fans. I mean, that ask Arsene Wenger how he knows. He does that every year.
Yeah,
of we need course. To bring in somebody. We need to bring in somebody, even if it's a player we don't even need in a position that we don't even need depth in.
Yeah. Well, I think, do you remember a few windows ago when Manchester City ended up having to bring in English players at the very end of the window because they didn't have enough to register to play? I think it was, I always think it's Sidwell. Is that right? I think it's Sidwell.
It was Sidwell. I think that actually, yeah, it was
Sidwell. And then they had to bring Frank Lampard in too. Like 2 years later, they had to bring in English players onto their roster to register them so that they could be eligible for the English competitions because they didn't have enough English players. And that's the same kind of thing that can happen. I don't think Tottenham is in no danger of that. And the one thing that,
no way.
And they've the one thing we might be overlooking,
like crazy.
I was going to say, I am not all that adept at their youth system. I just go based on media outlet reports. So I can't really say I know them forwards and backwards, but I mean, maybe they're just trying to go with their youth. If you want to try to float through the Champions League group stages, on Wednesdays in Russia with, your youth squad, I mean, I guess that's one thing you could do.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, if you're making a decision at that point, do you want to perform and be in the race in all competitions that you've worked so hard to get to? Or do you want to just get there, be fine being there, and just focus on the league? Because right now they only have players to focus on the league. That is it. They can't focus on FA Cup. They can't focus on the League Cup. They can't focus on Champions League. They can only focus on league with the players they have.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think you're looking at a fatigue factor for Tottenham right now that will be the decisive factor, fatigue and injury. And I think the same can actually be said of Liverpool. I think I put them in the same basket.
And let's keep in mind, on the 15th, next Tuesday, after they play Saturday, they have to play Hoffenheim in Germany. Liverpool and then come back and play next Saturday. Yeah. Like, they're going to realize very quickly that they need more players as well. And they might need to really think, you know, can we really put our feet in the ground? Can we dig our heels in the sand hard enough to where we turn down £120 million for Coutinho? They need to at this point.
Yeah, I think as with these huge transfers, I think it's really important for Liverpool to, if they are going to lose him, to immediately have somebody who can come in and take his place and
transfer. That's the person they've been looking at.
But get that transfer done beforehand. Don't let it slip. Don't mismanage it. And I believe they're doing the right thing so far from what I've read. Either they're going to keep Coutinho or they're going to sign somebody and then let Coutinho go, if that makes sense.
No, I agree. Definitely. It's just, to me, you're stuck in a position now as a Liverpool club and really the manager and the fans, where Coutinho is worth more than money to you. Especially on August 6th. What is today? The 6th? August 6th? If your replacement for Coutinho is Keita, keep him.
Yeah, I mean, you worth say more that, than money. But I mean,
what good is $120 million, Tom, if you don't have the time to reinvest it?
But you do have the time to reinvest.
When? Two weeks?
You have 2 weeks. You can get two £60 million players if you want to. And I believe that you can realistically get Keita for 50 to 60, which is too much.
They already turned down 70.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But I believe with 90 plus, he wants to go, man. If he wants to go to Barcelona and he has a chance to be their third guy, I mean, you hear a lot of rumors right now. I mean, you got Hazard, who's also apparently going for that spot. If Hazard goes, Chelsea, I think Conte might just resign if Hazard goes. But it looks like Coutinho is more likely.
I heard some rumors about that. That would be crazy.
That would. I think Tyler might not produce us anymore. We might be using a tape recorder if Hazard goes to Barcelona. Well, Ken,
we'll see, man.
We are starting match week one. I don't play fantasy. Do you play fantasy?
No.
No, I tried last year. I tried to get into it. Fantasy, Premier League, it's not the same. Like football, you have all these counting stats. Baseball, you have all these counting stats. And in soccer, it's like you got three counting stats. You can use goals and assists and yellow cards. And
yeah, to me, it just wasn't. I played one time a couple of years ago. It wasn't exciting. It didn't keep my interest.
No, I really wanted it to, but yeah, so we don't have any fantasy previews for anybody, but overall, just excited to have the matches start again. We got Manchester United on Wednesday versus Real Madrid. You can watch them get a run out. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we don't have a Monday game, do we, Ken?
No, Monday games haven't started yet.
It'll start.
Can't wait till they do.
Yeah, I love me some Monday, too. But I don't have anything else to add except the
Monday game.
What'd you say? Week two?
Week two. You got Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
I don't have anything else to add except that I'm fired up for the season. We'll probably do some more predictive aspects, I'll say, when the transfer window.
Yeah,
when the transfer window closes. Because teams can change.
A lot can change. Some teams are one player away from making that big jump into, you know, a different part of the table where, you know, positions matter. It's not like finishing 17th to 8th where who cares? You're still in the league. You know, some people in like 10, 9, and 8, like they're going to finish 7th or 6th if they can bring in another player. Or likewise, if Tottenham stays the way they are, they're not finishing in the top 4. No way. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll do some more predictive stuff when the window closes because there's so much left to do. That huge Neymar bomb really should open up the transfer market here. Somebody's going to lose a big player, whether it's Liverpool, Chelsea, Real Madrid. Somebody's going to gain some big players. So we still got some transfer news left. It's just it's a little bit unsettled right now. We'll focus on matches. Say,
yeah, a bully team in Barcelona now has £200 million more money to spend, so there's going to be some moves for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited, Ken. I'm looking forward to the week, and basically we got soccer all week if you want it.
Oh, it's there for sure.
All
Wednesday,
right.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
All right, Ken. As always, it is awesome to talk to you. Tyler, how you doing? You hanging in there, bud?
And don't you lie, Tyler.
Yeah, I'll stay away from the edge. I'll sit back from the edge and wait for the first game this weekend.
All right, buddy. If Hazard goes, then we might have an emergency podcast. We'll try to save Tyler here. Keep him on his Chelsea Blues.
Maybe this will happen. We'll end with this. Maybe Conte right now, he's drafted up a little text message. Imagine a day like this, Tyler Offeld. He's got Diego Costa's phone number primed up in the send to line. It's subjected. I love you. It was a mistake. And in the text, it says, hey, we just spent $70 million on Morata. He's played 4 games and he hasn't scored a goal. I think that you could have scored a goal from the stands because he missed a goal from 12 yards out. I didn't mean it. Will you come back and play for me, please? Please. He just hasn't hit send yet. He just hasn't hit send yet, Tyler.
That is what we will end on. we'll have to make sure going forward that when our teams play each other, we'll do a jersey swap or something, some kind of bet. But all right, guys. Well, as always, awesome to talk to you, and hope everybody has an awesome week.